Would you pray with me, please? Almighty God, I am here this morning only by your grace and able to do this only through your strength. I ask that you would open our hearts to receive the truth of your word and that you would make this message your message to our good and always to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus once told his disciples that a house, and that could apply to a personal household or a house of worship. He said a house will stand through anything. It will weather any storm if and only if it is built on the proper foundation. The rock solid foundation, which Jesus says is the hearing and the knowing and the believing and the doing of his word. There are plenty of real-life examples of what can happen when you build on a weak foundation. One of the most famous is known by its all-too-accurately descriptive name as the Leaning Tower of Pisa, a separately standing bell tower for the Cathedral of Pisa. It was designed to be a strong and straight and imposing 8 stories tall. It was to be a wonder of its time. But the soil on which it was built was softer than was anticipated, and the foundation was far too shallow to hold the structure or to bear its weight. And so before long, the whole tower began to tilt, which is a graphic reminder of what can happen when we try to build anything, including a life or a church, on a foundation that is too soft or too shallow or too weak to hold it. Many attempts were made to correct the problem. Unfortunately, none of them involved doing the one thing that really needed to be done, which was just tearing the whole tower down and starting over with a new foundation, which is something we humans are often reluctant to do. So instead, the too soft soil was filled in with more too soft soil. And the too shallow foundation was shored up instead of replaced. And in another typically human solution to the problem, the upper levels were built at an angle so that the tower would look straight when it wasn't really straight at all. So now the tower leans 18 feet away from perpendicular, where it's supposed to be. And experts say one day, it's going to fall. The hymn, our opening hymn, the Church's One Foundation, was written by a man named Samuel Stone, and he'd been described as a passionate defender, not only of the poor and vulnerable, but also of the faith. And he was writing in response to a controversy in the church at his time. And he was inspired by the Apostle Paul's declaration in 1 Corinthians 3:11, there is only one foundation, which is Jesus Christ. One meaning the soul foundation. Jesus himself confirmed this when he said that he is the way and the truth and the life and the only way to the Father. The one and only foundation, which is Jesus Christ. One foundation. One foundation meaning the common, the shared foundation that, despite our differences, undergirds all of us as Christians and all of us as churches of Jesus Christ. Doug is a male, actively serving brethren pastor. I am a female, retired Methodist pastor. We may say it in different words, we may say it with different styles, but you're not going to hear anything different from me than you would hear from Doug. And that's not because he's here today to listen to what I say. It's partly because we graduated from the same seminary, so we were given the same foundation. And it's because we're just each trying in our own way to build on the one same foundation of Jesus Christ. A few weeks ago in our church family here, we were blessed to hear one of our own, somebody that we really care about, affirm his faith and witness his baptism. So it should sound familiar when I tell you that in our baptismal services and our liturgies and our new member services, we Methodist clergy ask those about to be baptized questions very similar to the ones that Doug asked Craig that morning. Do you repent of your sin? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? Do you put your whole trust in his grace? And do you promise to serve him as your Lord? Recently, on what much of the Protestant church celebrates as World Communion Sunday, it's one of my absolute favorite days in the church year. As the earth God created turned on its axis as God ordained it to, and the mornings rose and the evenings fell, in as the old song says, the whole wide world God's got in his hands, you know, the people of Christ did something that we should do all the time. We set aside the insignificant things that separate us, and we focused on the important things that bind us together, to stand together, to profess together, someplace at some hour, everywhere the world over, and at every hour in that day. As the Methodist congregation I was serving temporarily at Mount Victory did at 9 a.m. that morning, and as you did here at this Brethren Church at your love feast that evening. All of us joining in the common Christ-instituted sacrament of communion to share our rituals and the forms of the elements we used might have been different, but to share the one bread and the one cup that unites and nourishes and feeds and strengthens all of us, to proclaim in that common act at our common table, at the Lord's table, our belief, our trust, our hope in Jesus Christ and the saving power of his body broken, of his blood poured out for all of us. Not just to say, but to show, to demonstrate that we as Christians, as Christian churches are all built upon, are all called to build upon, are all called to help God build upon the one and same foundation, which is Jesus Christ. One foundation, the one all-sufficient foundation for every aspect of the Christian life and the Christian church, meaning that no additional foundation is needed for anything. A solid, a secure, a immovable, unshakable, unchangeable foundation, which can be, I think, more fully expressed by two equally secure, unshakable foundational truths and promises of the Christian faith and the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know these. One, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. And two, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Everything that is truly, solidly Christian comes from, relies on, is built upon that one foundation, which is, and if you're getting tired of doing that, blame Doug, because I learned that from him. I've never did that before. I started listening to him preach to let you fill it in, and I love it. Making Jesus Christ the one foundation of our peace with God through the forgiveness of our sins, through his blood shed on the cross. God so loving the world that he gave his Son, and while we were still sinners, that Son, Jesus Christ, dying for us. Making Jesus Christ the one foundation of our salvation. Build upon our faith in that God-given Son and the sufficiency of his sacrifice on our behalf. And on the one, he's our one foundation and of our hope of heaven and eternal life in his own resurrection and in victory over death. Evangelist Billy Graham proclaimed all of these things in an article written shortly before he died, but published just after his death. And there are a number of people here who have suffered tragic losses in the last year and are going through really rough times, and you should find this comforting. Billy Graham wrote, "By the time you read this, I will be in heaven. As I write this, I'm looking forward with great anticipation to the day when I will be in God's presence forever. I'm convinced that heaven is far more glorious than anything we can possibly imagine right now. And I look forward not only to its wonder and peace, but also to the joy of being reunited with those who have gone there before me, especially my dear wife, Ruth." And then, making it clear that he had not somehow merited, earned, or worked his way to heaven, Billy Graham said, "I won't be in heaven because I've preached to large crowds. I won't be in heaven because I've tried to live a good life. I'll be in heaven for one reason. Many years ago, I put my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to make our forgiveness possible and rose again from the dead to give us eternal life. Peace with God, salvation, eternal life, reunion, all through the one foundation, which is Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ, the one foundation of our personal walk of discipleship, of the church universal, of this or of any church. Built solidly, firmly on the foundational truth and the teaching and the example of Jesus Christ that determine and define who we are and what we are called to do as Christians and how and in whose power we are to do it. You know, in great merciful love and grace, God gave us this foundation so that we would not fall. At great cost to himself, Christ suffered, and he died on the cross to be this foundation so that we would not fail. They would never take it away from us or pull it out from under us. So why? If our foundation, our one foundation, is so solid, are so many churches leaning precariously out of line from what they were designed by God and founded by Christ to be? Why, if our foundation is so secure, are so many Christians failing each other, failing our families, failing the lost, failing the God we claim to serve, and failing the Savior whose name we bear? Well, if it isn't our foundation that's weakened or moved or changed, then it must be us. Pastor Caleb Fares puts it this way. He says, "The hymn, 'The Church is One Foundation,' is a reminder what our forgetful hearts need to hear again and again. Christ is our all. He is the one foundation." How often, Fares says, we would build our lives on false hopes, on faulty foundations, on the lure and dependence on temporary, shallow, shifting worldly things. How often we seek to build the church on false visions of success, like size and numbers and facilities and programs, while neglecting the preeminence of Christ. Our hearts are inclined to supplant Jesus and replace him with our own designs and our own foundations. Mark Tranvik is a preacher who writes scripture commentators to help other preachers with their preaching. And he says, he agrees with this, and he says, for too many Christians and Christian churches, God is no longer in the center of their lives. There's still room for Christ, but not as the foundation. Instead, we think that Christ is there to help us cope with life and its little emergencies, and he serves primarily as a rescuer for us, somebody who gets us out of the tight spots that we can't handle on our own. But this is a far cry from what Paul has in mind, Tranvik says. Rather, Paul is saying that Christ is not merely one option among many, but Christ is the only option, the one foundation upon which we are called to build our lives and our churches. You know, throughout the Gospels, whenever people came to Jesus with a question or a problem that he wanted them to solve, he most often responded with a question of his own, a question that would force them to face something in their lives, something in their hearts that they needed to see and correct, a process that was sometimes so uncomfortable that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law just stopped trying to ask him questions, and they decided to get rid of him instead. Pastor Greg Perchola followed Jesus' example of asking hard, uncomfortable, but necessary and important questions when he asked his congregation to search their own hearts and their own lives and the heart and life of their church as they thought about Jesus Christ as their one foundation. The church is made up of people, Perchola says, so it stands to reason that if Jesus is to be the one foundation of a church, it can only happen if Jesus is the one foundation of the lives of the people in the church. And so he asked his congregation, as I ask you to ask yourself, as I ask myself this morning, is Jesus Christ the foundation of my life? Perchola says that having Jesus the foundation of your life means that nothing in your life is more important than Jesus. He is your bread and your water, your sustenance and your source of life. He's the one who holds you and keeps you and leads you and guides you and directs you. And you do nothing without him as your foundation and him as your first cause in everything. Then Perchola says, if we have Jesus as the foundation of our lives individually, then when we come together as the church, we have this common way, this Jesus foundational way of operating and functioning and doing ministry, which brings us to the second of Perchola's heart questions. Is Jesus Christ the foundation of this church? To get an idea of what that means, what Jesus as the foundation of a church looks like, Perchola says to imagine that you are in a third world country. And I shared with this with a couple people. I found this really funny. God has a sense of humor. This morning, we're all running around like the end of the world has come because the bulletins are missing. So Perchola says to imagine that you're in a third world country where there are churches that have literally nothing, no fine building, probably no building at all, no beautiful sanctuary, no pews or chairs, certainly no sound system or slides, no screen, probably not even any Bibles, places where it might not be safe or easy for them to even get together and worship. And then ask yourselves, if like them, we as a church had nothing but Jesus, would it be enough for us? Is Jesus the foundation of this church? Perchola says that means that no matter how wise something seems, no matter how expedient or necessary it seems to be, we have to see if and how firmly it stands on the foundation of the gospel before moving ahead with it, looking at it, considering it, evaluating it through the foundation of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for us on the cross, through the foundation of Jesus and his teaching and his example, through, it's like Doug's question, you know, what does love require of us? Through the foundational lens of his love. It means constantly and consistently asking ourselves, not just is this what Jesus would do, but is this what Jesus would want us to do in his name? Does this project or program or plan, no matter how worldly, financial, or operational it seems to make sense, does it honor Christ? Does it further the gospel? Does this thing that we're thinking of doing share Christ's love with the needy, with the lost and the lonely, with the hurt and the hopeless and the helpless? Does it further God's kingdom and help us, help God build on the one foundation of Jesus Christ? Jesus' last words on the cross were words of forgiveness, mercy, provision, submission, trust, love, and selflessness. They clearly show what Jesus was and is always about. In a similar way, a person's last words, like those I shared with you from Billy Graham, are often a good reflection of what the foundation of his or her life has been. For example, the last words of John Wesley, founder of Methodism, were, "The best is God is with us." On the other hand, the final words of one Hollywood movie star before her death were, "Do I look all right? Where's my lipstick and makeup bag?" Some of the most revealing and most chilling final words are those of people who have not believed in God. For example, Thomas Paine, a leading atheistic writer in the American colonies, author of the book The Age of Reason, founded his whole life and his work on rational thought and convincing others that there is no God. But on his deathbed, Paine begged those with him, "Stay with me for God's sake. I cannot bear to be left alone. Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, God, what will become of me hereafter? I would give worlds if I had them," Paine said, "that the Age of Reason," his great work, "had never been published. Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Christ, help me," he said. "No, don't leave me. Stay with me. Send even a child to stay with me, for I am on the edge of hell here alone." If ever the devil had an agent, I have been that one. Well, only God knew Paine's heart and the sincerity of his anguished, desperate words at that moment and what to do about it. But if we have built our lives on the one foundation that says God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. If we have built our lives and our hope of forgiveness and salvation on the one foundation that says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, then we won't, thanks be to God, have to fear death or face it with such emptiness and hopelessness and regret. And no matter who else might leave or abandon us, we will not then or ever have to face anything alone. If we, as disciples, as a church, have built our lives on the one foundation of Jesus Christ, doing all we can to spread the good news, hope of the gospel, doing all we can together to build on that one solid, true foundation by loving and serving God and loving and serving others in his name, we won't, thanks be to God, have to fear standing before God and giving an account of the gifts and the talents and the time and the resources that he has provided for us to use in his redeeming work in the world that Christ died to save. It's oh so easy for a Christian or a church of Christ to find themselves like the Leaning Tower of Pisa, not what they were designed and intended to be, not straight and strong and true, not a wonder of their time, to find themselves off center and headed for a fall. All it takes is trying to build on a foundation that is too soft, too shifting, too shallow, too weak to bear the load. All it takes is slipping a little or inching one step, one decision, one compromise at a time off of and away from the one foundation that is not only the one that God provided, but is also God himself. If as individuals and families we're going to stand through the storms of life, if it's as disciples and as churches, we're going to stand against the assaults and pressures of the world around us in prayer, in time spent in God's word, in worship, in fellowship, in witness, in service, in outreach, and service to God and others in his name. We must do everything we can, in every way we can, to make sure we're firmly connected to. We must ask God to help us keep our feet solidly planted on, grounded, standing on our one true, unchanging, unshifting, secure foundation, our solid rock foundation, one more time, which is
Jesus Christ.
I'm going to try the video in a second here. All kinds of Christians, all kinds of churches, all kinds of worship, one faith, one God, one Spirit, one Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, one foundation. Here, hopefully, is the contemporary way that they proclaim it at the Lone Star Cowboy Church in Dallas, Texas.